Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's marvelous grace, I am blessed to meet with him in worship today in the ministry of the Word of God. It is also my joy to meet with you, dear radio listener, at this time. We continue today in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, looking at verses in which the Lord teaches us not to worry about our lives, about what we will eat or drink, or about clothing, that is, what we will put on our bodies, our raiment, because God is a faithful and able and gracious provider. Glory to God. Praise his wonderful name, Jehovah Jireh, the provider of his people. Friends, learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Hear now the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25 through verse 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May the Lord add his blessings to his marvelous word. Friends, let's pray. Thank you again, Jesus, for your clear teaching that we are not to worry, but trust you, God of providence, Jehovah Jireh, that you will truly provide all that we really need, just as you provide for all of your creatures, those that you have made, created by your great power. Thank you, God. I pray for those who are worrisome today that you would give them insights into these great issues of life and that they would worry less. Most of all, I pray that people hearing the word of God today would trust you and so enjoy the peace of God which surpasses all understanding and not be fearful, have an anxious mind, or be worrisome. Thank you that you provide for us. Please grant us grace and provide for our understanding, the reception of your truth today, my ability to communicate it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, last Lord's Day, in this section of verses, we saw how it is that God in his providence, that is his government and his preservation of his creation, of his creatures, encourages us not to worry about the issues of life. Jesus, in speaking about God's providence, about God's will to care for us, he has created us with needs. He has planned and does meet the needs he has ordained we have. Today we'll continue to take a closer look at the Lord's marvelous teaching in verses 25 through 34. And we begin by saying simply that in verses 25 through 27, Jesus teaches us not to worry about life in its many dimensions and complexities, not to worry about God's ability to provide for us. He wills to provide for us, especially for his people. Jesus says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or your clothing. Your needed clothing to protect your body, because God has given us life, which is much greater than the secondary needs of life, food and drink and clothing. And if he has given us the greater, that is life, he will surely give us the lesser to sustain the life, food, drink, and clothing needed for the body that he has created us with. These needs will be met. God will meet them. And we comment today about the fact that in this sinful and fallen world, there are great needs. At times there is great hunger. There is a lack of good drinking water. At times in poverty, there is a lack of real needed clothing. We do not deny that, but we hold to the glorious truth that even in these adverse situations in life, for those who are without food and without drink and without clothing, God, the unchanging God, is yet the provider for all people. God will not fail in his will. He will overrule the adverse aspects of life to accomplish his good purposes in life. He will provide for his creatures even in these dire circumstances, as he will, because he is the creator, the giver of life, and the provider for people. If you are a Christian today and you lack food and good drinking water and clothing, you are impoverished. Perhaps you lack many other needed things in life, like medicine, a good shelter. Let me encourage you, dear believer, seek the Lord, because God has especially promised to meet the needs of those who trust in him. And if you are not a believer today and you struggle with food and drink and clothing and you are greatly worried about your life, let me encourage you, first of all, to trust in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who can give you peace even in the midst of such adverse circumstances, a peace which passes our ability to fully comprehend, a peace which is real and true and lasting. And as you know Christ, because you have trusted him and repented of your sins, you have surrendered your broken, needy life to him, he then will especially care for you, a believer in God. He has promised to do this. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Again, for all people today, the believing and the unbelieving, God is our creator, the giver of life, and the sustainer of our lives. He absolutely controls in every detail, every aspect of our lives. Some of us are given much. Some of us are given less. Some of us have an excess of supply. Some of us have no supply, no extra provision of food and drink and clothing at all. But God is God in all of this. And God is good and merciful and kind. And God does meet the needs of all people, even those who are in the greatest distresses in life. And so we are encouraged to trust him, the God of providence, the God who is sovereign, the God who is the provider for every creature, all animal life, all plant life, all of life, and especially the provider for men made in his image, most especially for his dear children saved and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God does provide. God will provide for us. And we see that in the Lord's beautiful example of the birds of the air, that though they do not work like men work, they don't sow and reap or gather into barns, yet God, the Heavenly Father, feeds them. God provides for these beautiful creatures that fly in the air. And Jesus tells us that man is of more value to God than the birds of the air, than animals. And that is because man is made in the image of God. Today there is a notion that man and animals are of equal value. That's based upon the theory of evolution, which is taught that men are simply animals. But this is very wrong. The Bible is the authoritative word of God, which clearly teaches that man is made in God's image. And as one man has put it, God's image bearers are profoundly, infinitely, and eternally more important than animals. And so we are not animals. We are men made in God's image. Some have acted on this truth with a disregard and abuse of animal life. But this is very wrong. God created us in His image to be stewards over the animals, to care for the animals. And so it is very wrong to exploit animal life. It is very wrong to exploit life at all, plant life also. It is very wrong to poison the environment. It is very wrong to do that which causes severe climate conditions. I thank God today that because He is a God of mercy, I can trust Him that He controls and limits my ability to destroy. As a sinner, I am destructive by nature, in my fallen nature. Yet the great God overrules man's ability to destroy himself. And we have great hope in the mercy of God. He has promised to care for life, for the creation as it is, until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27 that we can't add a cubit to our stature. This is figurative language, a figure of speech. Here we believe a cubit refers to a short period of time, and the word stature can also be translated as a lifespan. In other words, because we can't add a moment of time, even a moment to our lifespans, God controls our lifespans. He has fixed this, determined this. Jesus says, why worry or try through worry to add a moment to our lifespan? And if we cannot do this, even through worry, of what value is worry? We said before that worry is actually harmful to us. It is not only futile, but it is harmful to us. After reflecting upon the truth that God provides for the birds of the air, I like to think about that when I see birds. I like birds. I love to see them flying. We have a lot of seabirds near our home here, and I often see them flying, some smaller, some bigger, some very big. Some of the seabirds feed on the grass. They gather their food from the grasses. What a wonderful illustration of the fact that God provides for His creatures and that God will provide for man made in His image. Look at the birds of the air. Jesus points us to do that and know that God will provide. Jesus says in verse 28, so why worry about clothing? And gives us another beautiful illustration, an example of God's providence and care for the creatures. In this case, God's care for the lilies of the field, the flowers. Jesus' beautiful example, consider the lilies of the field. Again, I like to think about what the Lord has said. When I see beautiful flowers, I really like flowers. Most of us do. Most of us love flowers. The colors, the textures, the shapes, the variety, the length of the stem, how they move in the air. Some are large and extremely colorful. Some are much smaller and of lighter shades, pastel shades of color. But flowers are beautiful. God has made them this way. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Consider their beauty and that God creates the lilies of the field. God clothes the grass of the field with these beautiful lilies, these beautiful flowers. Jesus leads us to think, too, of glorious King Solomon, who was arrayed in great glorious attire. As the king of Israel, the Bible tells us about his beautiful clothing as he sat upon this beautiful and glorious stately throne, which sat high upon a platform. Steps were taken by Solomon up to the platform where the throne was, and the throne was adorned with gold, and there were golden lions on the sides of the steps. As Solomon approached the throne of Judah, Solomon was a rich king, and probably during most of his rule, the richest king on the planet. And he was arrayed with these beautiful clothes, like the lily, beautiful in appearance. Jesus says that Solomon's glorious appearance, his clothing, his array, cannot be compared to God's work of beautifying, adorning the lily. The flower is glorious in beauty. It is clothed with beauty. God has created the flower in this way, and its very existence and its destruction is determined by God. The lily, in all its beauty and glory, will wither, and the grass will die and will be burned in the fire. The Lord's point that if God does this for a flower, if he clothes the flower so well, will he not clothe men of much greater value made in his own image? And we simply say unequivocally, yes, he will. In verses 31 through 34, in conclusion, we see that the Lord says, therefore, because these things are true, God provides for the birds of the air, the lilies, he provides for you. Jesus says to us, do not say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Do not worry about these matters, because the Gentiles, the godless people, live for these things. They seek these things. That is, they put these things of first value in life. Jesus says, don't be like the godless peoples who make food and drink and clothing of first value, because your heavenly Father, believer in Christ, knows that you have these needs, and your heavenly Father will meet your needs for food and drink and clothing. Jesus says, instead of being like the godless, unbelieving peoples, first seek God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, and God's righteousness. That is, to be born again, by faith live for the honor and the glory of the one true living God through faith in Jesus Christ, his eternally begotten Son. Seek God. Seek to live righteously in a way that pleases God. And as you do this, as you are saved from this perverse generation, and you come into a life of practical righteousness pleasing God, God will meet your every need. All you need will be added to you. In this again, the greatest need of mankind is salvation, that we might know and worship God. And as the greatest need is met, our salvation, God has promised to meet the lesser needs for his saved children, food and drink and clothing. One man has written that as we first seek God, his kingdom and his righteousness, whatever pertains to his honor and glory is what God calls us to seek, and to let our principal care and study be how to get to heaven for God's glory and honor, and how to promote the kingdom of God in the world, to bring our hearts into subjection to the will of God, and that we may know how to bring others to the obedience of faith and the will of God. Such a glorious promise. I have thought upon this many, many times, especially in times of need, that as I first seek the kingdom of God, I am saved. He has brought me into his kingdom. I pray now. I seek to live a righteous life, a life that pleases Christ. Therefore, all of my real needs will be added to me. Praise the Lord. And Jesus also teaches us not to worry about our future needs, that tomorrow's needs will be gloriously met for those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are to concern ourselves to know and worship God today. He will provide for us today. And that tomorrow will be well. God will give us grace tomorrow. He will give us future grace. Tomorrow will be well with all of its concerns. Though we don't know what tomorrow's concerns will be, another good reason why we should not worry about them, we can't possibly know what our concerns will be tomorrow. A knowledge of the future is not given to us in this respect. We can trust the God who cares for us today with tomorrow, that he will provide for us tomorrow. Psalm 37, verse 4 puts it this way, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." When God is first, when we are saved, we believe in Christ, we love him, we delight in him, these lesser things which we need and desire will be given to us. Jesus tells us that today's troubles are enough for us, and that we're not to load on ourselves a burden of worry about tomorrow's troubles. Glory to God. How wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us such needed things. I share now some concluding thoughts with you from this section of verses. Jesus calls us to believe in Christ, to trust God, who has done the great work of saving us, a permanent blessing, and so can and will do the lesser work of providing for our temporal needs, a temporary blessing. Jesus says that the godless worry about what to eat and drink and wear, but we are to serve God faithfully. God does require of us that we work. The scripture is clear. The Spirit of Christ says that the man who does not work shall not eat. We must engage in lawful work. We must have a livelihood in some way. And so as we work faithfully, as we live faithfully for the Lord's glory and honor, as we turn from sins, live repentantly, and do that which God requires of us, we trust God and leave to God to arrange and provide. He is the provider in this sense. Our provision through our work is a secondary cause. He provides. He is the first cause. His provision is the first cause. God will meet the needs of people. He has promised to do this. And this is a promise conditionally dependent upon his wisdom and providential dealings with us. Particular needs are conditionally promised to be met. God has promised in his wisdom to meet the needs of those who seek first his kingdom. Ultimately, he meets our every true need, spiritual and temporal or physical, and he works all things together for our good. This is an unconditional promise. He places a priority upon our spiritual need of salvation over our temporal or physical needs. Jesus teaches us to pray that our needs will be met. The New Testament teaches us to pray about all things, to rejoice in God, make our requests known to God, and God's peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 4. And in the grace of God, Paul says that he had learned to be content when hungry and when full. He had learned that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Be hungry and be full. And we are encouraged that underneath us, above and around us, and beyond our needs is the all-sufficient God in his surrounding mercies. We see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that in his miracles he showed compassion, knowledge, and desire to meet people's needs, as he miraculously fed 5,000 people, at another time 4,000 people, from a few loaves of bread and fishes. Jesus met the needs of his men. He gave them safety in a dangerous situation. In Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 through 27, he calmed the sea. And in Matthew 14, Jesus walked on the water to the distressed disciples. Another indication of Jesus' care and provision is found in Matthew 16, when Jesus gives truth to his disciples and warns them of false teachers and false teaching. We live in a dangerous world, and yet Christ showed his compassion and desire to meet people's needs in these miracles. We can see in them that Christ will provide for us. Praise the Lord, and he knows what he is doing in absolute detail, so we can trust him when we are in any circumstance, in time of need, in time of plenty. He is God who will provide for us and take care of us. Jesus teaches us in these verses to live one day at a time and trust God today and trust God for tomorrow, that tomorrow's needs will be met by God who cares for us today. Not to be dismayed, that is, in dread of the future. Future grace is certain for those who believe in God. Jesus says, we will have trouble in this world. Even at times, we will have trouble with our needed provision. But don't worry, God will help us. God will provide for us. And don't worry about tomorrow's troubles. Deal with today's troubles in God's grace. Tomorrow's troubles will deal with themselves in God's grace. Glory to God. Praise and honor and glory to God. I'll end this teaching on this section of verses with a brief statement about my personal experience in this issue of knowing God and finding his provision. Before I was saved almost 40 wonderful years ago, I was often in great need. There were times when, in fact, I was in hunger. I didn't have food and the necessary clothing that was needed. At times, I didn't have shelter. My medical needs weren't met because of my poverty. My poverty was in great measure a result of my sinfulness, as I wasted any monies that I had, though I worked most of the time. But when Jesus saved me, when I came to know God and the precious promise of verse 33, that is, first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that all that I needed would be added to me, I discovered marvelously that Christ has always met my real needs, sometimes not in the way that I thought he would, or even in the way I desired that he would, but God has always, unfailingly, as he has promised, made provision for me. And it simply amazes me that as I have walked with the Lord for all of these years, his provision has been better and better and better. He has increasingly provided for me, for my family, for the needs of the ministry. And so I know in my heart of hearts the truthfulness of God's promise. And I encourage you today, dear friend, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things you need, truly, really need, shall be added to you. The Lord has promised this. And so do not worry. Trust the Lord. He will provide. He will provide and care for you. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're a great and wonderful God. You provide for your people so wonderfully, abundantly, fully, marvelously. How great you are. Have your glory in this time of ministry today, in the Word of God, and bless the people with precious truth. Bring great change of life and heart, and help them not to worry, but know you and follow you and find your provision. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.